be a topical message this morning. We won't be spending much time on this particular verse, but we will be starting with it. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 15, and perhaps we should read verse 14 just so we have a little understanding of the context in which it's coming. Or verse 13, "For Adam was first formed, then Eve," verse 13, "and Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, was in the transgression. Notwithstanding," that is, God's not going to hold it together against her forever, "she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness and sobriety." For many years, the church used to teach that a woman was saved if she had children. Or the more children she had, the more likely she was saved, or the more the guarantee was that she would be saved if she had lots and lots of children. But in the context, if you look at the verse more closely, something we will not do today, but at least you will see here that it says, "She shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness and sobriety." So salvation wasn't in just having children. But what that verse does point out to us is that having children is certainly a very, very holy calling. And that's more of what that verse was teaching than salvation by having children, for sure. I was looking at the obituaries yesterday with my wife. As you get older, you tend to look at them a little more frequently. As we approach Mother's Day, there was an obituary of a woman, Elizabeth James, and she died this week. She didn't make it to Mother's Day. She lived here in Baltimore. Her name was Elizabeth James, a black lady here from the city. And her name was Elizabeth James. And as I was reading through the article, she had been a faithful member of her church for 70 years. 93 years old, faithfully attending her church for 70 years. Her children's names, I won't give them all to you, but listen to this mother's, how she named her children. There was Paul James. There was Joseph James. There was Mary James, Pauline, like Paul. There was Rhoda and Stephen, and on it goes. This was a godly lady, a mother who, what you'd see as childbearing, she continued in the faith and with holiness and sobriety. And she didn't make it to Mother's Day, and I just felt that though I've never known her, I'll see her someday in heaven, and wanted to commemorate her this day. Of Mother's Day. A recent report came out, and some of you, if you're on the internet, you do a lot of reading, and you may have seen it, but they tried to estimate the value of a mother. And they looked at the mother, and if you were to hire help in your home to do what it would cost, the average home would have to pay $135,000 in salary per year to hire a mother. That is, you'd have to hire someone to go and do the grocery shopping, you have to hire someone to cook and clean the dishes. You'd have to hire someone to run your daycare if you have children. You have to hire someone to do the laundry, someone to clean your house, someone to manage a household, pay the bills and the banking and so forth. How about a receptionist to answer the phone and to take calls and to carry on with messages? Medical appointments, making them and seeing the children made it to them, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We go on and on. Probably $135,000 a year. If you got some migrant workers or some cheap labor or under-the-table labor, it would be very, very expensive to replace the mother in the average home. Now, one of the scriptures tells us, and we read it in Proverbs 31 this morning, her price is far above rubies. You can buy a lot of rubies for $135,000, can't you? Her price is far above rubies. Who looketh well to the ways of her household? And that's the job of the mother. And if she looks well to the ways of her household, you can't afford her if you had to replace her. And then on top of the $135,000, that does not take into account the emotional input that she has. The Christ-centered input does not estimate. You can't estimate the value of a Christ-centered home. And so this is just the monetary value of some things, but not all, of the godly mother. We have heard the expression, "the hand that rocks the cradle rules the nation." That is a declaration that the job of the mother inside of a country is the most important job anyone will ever have. That's what that is saying. The hand that rocks the cradle, rules a nation. Mothers, you have the most important job you'll ever have. Your children may grow up, go to college, and go off and have their own families, and you may get a little side job somewhere someday. And as important as you may think that job is, your job as mothers is the most important job. The hand that rocks the cradle rules a nation. That doesn't come out of the Bible. But even the secular world recognizes that the job of a mother is just that important. It's a job that requires prayer. It's a job that requires a special unction of strength from the Holy Spirit, or your own strength and patience will fail. The hardiest and the healthiest of women cannot perform the job of a mother without prayer and the hope of the Holy Spirit. It's a calling, I might also add, it's a calling to be a mother that will pay great dividends. The mother's job is a calling that will pay great dividends in its rewards. They will come, but as many people know, when they invest in mutual funds or stocks or whatever, that many times it is a long-term investment. You don't see the rewards overnight. Sometimes you don't see the rewards for 5 or 10 years if you're investing in mutual funds or stocks. It's a long-term investment. We're often told that. And a mother's work is a long-term investment, but it will pay great dividends. Little wonder that mothers are promised. Mothers are assured. Mothers are encouraged that they shall be saved through childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness. Obeying your holy calling will prove as a mother, and that is a holy calling. Obeying that holy calling, sticking to the holy calling, it won't save you. It will prove that you have salvation if you can stick to the holy calling. The stay-at-home mom today is often beaten down by the news media. We're ridiculed. We're sometimes laughed at by your own sisters or family who have sought a career, have sought a title or a position somewhere. And your own children have probably at one time or another, as they're growing in grace and wisdom of the Lord, we hope they are, but even our own children sometimes have viewed mom as anything but an honorable position. They've looked at mom and they've said to mom, "You're a killjoy." They said to mom, "You're an old stuffed shirt," or "You're old fashioned," or "You're behind the times." But the truth is, only a Christian mother knows the eternal value of what she is doing. Your children do not understand at this time the eternal value of what you are doing. They think you're old-fashioned. They think you're behind the times or a stuffed shirt. They have no idea the value of what you are doing, the sacrifices you are making. They cannot comprehend the sacrifices you are making. They go to school in new shirts and new blouses and new skirts and new shoes, while mom may be wearing the same pair of shoes for months and months and years at a time. They do not realize the sacrifices are made by most moms. And the Scripture tells us of these sacrifices that we read today in Proverbs 31:27. "She looketh well to the ways of her own household." Even if a mother is able to afford the new dress, the new coat, the new shoes, children don't understand that mom will get the new coat, the new shoes for the children long before she buys it for herself. She looks well to the ways of her own household first. And children don't understand that. They don't see that. They don't appreciate that. Proverbs 31:26 says, "She opened her mouth with wisdom." A mother's life experiences contain wisdom. There are colleges out there who will offer you degrees but just on your life experiences. You can go out on the internet to some of the finest colleges in the country, whether it be West Point, the Naval Academy, University of Maryland, Notre Dame, Cornell. They will all offer you credits on your experiences in life, life experiences. They will give you college credits for it. And yet sometimes our children don't give mom and dad's credit for their life experiences. They don't think their parents are as smart as they are. They've learned that from TV or some movie they've seen. They don't appreciate the wisdom that comes out of the mother's mouth. She opened her mouth with wisdom. She's got years of experience, years of hard knocks the school of hard knocks. She's learned things that you do not understand. A mother has life experiences and wisdom that you cannot attain in a classroom from a doctor or even a full set of encyclopedias. Children, please understand me when I say this. There are things that moms and dads have learned from experience you'll never learn anywhere else except from your experience yourself, or if you listen to the mother's mouth that is full of wisdom. Her wisdom surpasses her children. Children, forget about what TV tells you. Forget about the shows, the family, watch the family hour on TV at night, how the kids are all smarter than the parents and so forth. Forget about it. It's not true. Your mother is smarter than you, and I have a shock for you. Not only is your mother smarter than you, children, your mother is smarter than all your girlfriends and boyfriends. You say, well, Johnny says, and Janie says, and Jimmy says, and they're 15, and they ought to know, Mom. Your children, you must know that Mom's mouth speaks wisdom. You are not smarter than Mom, and none of your friends are either. You need to listen to the wisdom of your mother. She opened her mouth with wisdom. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, God has told us that she is wiser than all her children and her children's friends as well. Most children do not comprehend this. I understand as you sit here this morning, some young folks, you think you're smarter than your mom. Or you think you're smarter than your dad. You think you've finally arrived. You do not comprehend. And you will not comprehend how old, or rather how smart your mother is until you probably reach the age of 30. At the age of 30, you'll start to comprehend. You'll start to understand your mother as you never did before. And you realize that somewhere between the time when you were 12 and 30, she really grew in knowledge. All of a sudden, you're calling her to find out how to make a particular dinner. You're calling her to find out what the etiquette is when your in-laws are coming over. You're calling her to find out how you fix a light bulb in a lamp. All of a sudden, you discover at the age of 30, perhaps, that your mother is really quite wise. That's why in Proverbs 1 and 8 it says, forsake not the law of thy mother. It will dawn on you someday that your mother's wisdom was guiding, guarding, and protecting you. There is a reason why she doesn't want you to eat candy before dinner. There is a reason why she wants you to wash your hands before you pick up that cookie. There is a reason why she doesn't want you wearing somebody else's shoes, athlete's foot from other people. Your mother has reasons, and sometimes you wouldn't understand them if she gave them to you. She is wise beyond your years. She has guided, guarded, and protected you, and at the age of 30, you may begin to realize how wise your mother is. There are two things, by the way, that will shorten that 30-year curve that you're on. One is becoming a mother. If you become a mother, you will discover very quickly how smart your mother is. She can listen to the cry of your baby and tell you more of what's wrong with your baby than you can. She knows when the baby's crying because it wants attention. Your mother knows when the baby's crying because it's hungry or in pain. She is sharp, sharper than you ever expected. So that 30-year learning curve can be shortened if you become a mother. The other way that you can shorten that 30-year learning curve and discover how intelligent and how wise your mother was is if she dies. All of a sudden it dawns on you, if Mom was here. All of a sudden it dawns on you how much you used to call her and you didn't realize how much you leaned on her and depended on her. If Mom was here, she'd know what to do. How many times I've heard that? Only in recent years have I been saying, I never thought I'd look back to the days of my mom as the good old days, and they are. The learning curve is shortened if your mom dies or if you become a mother. Proverbs 31 tells us in verse 15 and 18, she riseth also while it is yet night. She gets up early in the morning while it's yet night, while it's still dark. And her candle goeth not out by night, and she stays up often until everyone's in bed and it's dark again. The mother's job is never done. It's long hours. It's dirty diapers. It's often dreary. And once in a while, punctuated with brief moments of sheer panic. That's a mother's job. It's a tough job. Her calling, because she rules the home, she becomes the chief disciplinarian. Dad's not generally there. He's working. He's gone 10 or 12 hours a day. Mother becomes the chief disciplinarian. And so consequently, in those early years, she maybe doesn't endear herself to her flock the way Dad does. But in the long run, her children will rise up and call her blessed. Proverbs 31:28. Moms, I know that you are the chief disciplinarian. I know that you hand out more spankings or more discipline than Dad does. You're there more. You see more. And so they might like Dad more. But the day is coming when they will rise up and call you blessed. And your husband will praise you as well. The day will arrive. And none can take that away from you, moms, when you're children. Have you ever seen a tough Navy guy and he pulls up his sleeve and he shows you a tattoo and it says Dad on it? It says Mom, doesn't it? It says Mother. I'm not encouraging you to go out and get one of those tattoos, but I'm just saying that even the secular world rises up and praises Mother. In Proverbs 31:30, we didn't read that today, but we could have gone on. It says that the mother that feareth the Lord, that's a mother. A mother that fears the Lord is a godly mother, a great mother. And she'll instill in her children the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what a godly mother does. Her title, mother, or mom, it exceeds the title of being senator. It exceeds the title of being president. The title mother exceeds the title of being CEO or even teacher of the year. Teacher of the year means nothing to the title of mother. The fruit of the womb is her reward, Psalm 127, verse 3. And the title mother is the most wonderful title you earn when God blesses you with that fruit. There's really nothing we can take to heaven. My granddaughter the other day asked if she could take this little doll she has to heaven. We told her, no, you can't take the doll to heaven. She wanted to take it to heaven. You can only take people to heaven. And mothers know that too, don't they? You can only take yourself and your children to heaven. It's your responsibility to introduce them to the Lord. It's your responsibility as a godly mother. It says that she feareth the Lord, Proverbs 31:30. And that's the one thing you can do. You can take your good name to heaven, you can take yourself to heaven, and you can take your saved children to heaven. Worldly fame and honors and titles, by the way, they mean nothing in heaven. Do you think you're going to sit around in heaven someday and say, I was president of my own company? Think you're going to sit around in heaven someday and say, I was a senator for three times. I was elected senator of my state. And have no children there? What comfort would that be? Oh, moms, to sit in heaven and to say, I was a mother, and there sit my children in heaven at the banquet table with me. Mother is a wonderful title. That whole Proverbs 31 deals so much there with the mother. The title mother. Or perhaps I should even say the title grandmother. For we read of Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:5, how the grandmother was also called to remembrance. I call to remembrance that unfeigned faith which dwelt first in thy grandmother. She had to have been a mother first, and then a grandmother, and then thy mother. You know, in a sense, before you become a grandmother, if you fear the Lord, you already are a grandmother or a great mother. But the Bible speaks to the fact that the grandmother and the mother had seen to it through their faithful instruction that Timothy had gone to heaven. You've heard it said that behind every successful man, there stands a woman. Haven't we heard that? Behind every successful man, there stands a woman. And didn't we all envision, oh, he must be a great wife he's got. She's right there to handle these things and those things and so forth. You know, maybe she takes his messages and she's there. Boy, behind every great man stands that woman, that wife of his. Behind every great man stands his mother, because it's a mother who took that young child in his formative years and made him what he is. The wives keep him on track, but the mothers got them where they are today. And you can look back to any man you know. President Bush talks about it's his mom that made him what he is today, not his wife. The mothers have a unique, unique situation. They do, the hand that rocks the cradle does rule the nation. Your mother, who in your formative years had such an influence on you, she encouraged you and you became courageous. She instructed you, and so some of you have become instructors. She taught you right from wrong, and some of you became righteous. She introduced you to Christ. And when she did that, she did more to make you what you are than any college, camp, or classmate will ever influence you to be. It was your mother. The law of thy mother, we read in Proverbs 6. The law of thy mother. Did you ever hear, boy, mom, she's laid down the law. You ever heard that? Mom laid down the law. Well, the law of thy mother, it shall lead thee. You better it'll lead thee, because if it doesn't, you know, we say, if it doesn't lead, it bleeds. I mean, she's going to lead you. The law of the mother, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou wakest, it shall lead thee. Your mother told you things as a young child you've never forgotten. She's told you things that kept you out of trouble. She told you things that because it kept you out of trouble, you could sleep with a good conscience and not worry about the police knocking on the door because of something you'd done during the daytime. And so your mother, the law of the mother, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. You won't lose sleep because you've done what your mother asked you to do and you're not in trouble. And when thou wakest, it shall talk to thee. When you're thinking about doing something you shouldn't do and your mother, your godly mother, has led you to Christ and led you to the Ten Commandments and the laws of God, those things will talk to you at important times when otherwise you would go astray. It is your mother who wiped away your first tear. It is your mother who produced your first smile. It is your mother that taught you your first word. It is your mother who gave you your first kiss. It is your mother who tended to your first bruise. It is your mother who first dealt with you when you encountered that bully. And it's your mother who talked to you the first time your heart was broken by a girl or a boy. And she did it all without a pay raise or any praise. God has given us many brothers and sisters, but He only gave us one mother. And it's a grueling task. And the mother's heart is up to the challenge, isn't it? The mother's heart is up to the challenge of raising the children that not one, no, not even two daddies can handle. And I think you know what I'm talking about. Two daddies cannot handle what one mother can do. It cannot be done. You men sitting here, you know right now that hearing a baby screech and scream and cry, to us, it sounds like fingernails on a chalkboard. And to the mother, it's, oh, I hope he's all right. And she runs in the room and coddles him while he's blowing out at 98 decibels in her ear. Only a mother can raise the child, not two daddies. And the truth is that many a man has been raised well by a faithful mother without a father at all. Thank God for that, because many a father has fallen on the battlefield and left mom at home to raise the children without a father. Timothy is a fine example of that. He was raised by a mother and a grandmother without the good fatherly influence. A mother can raise a child. It's not easy, even with dad there. But a mother can raise a child on her own and do a good job. But it is rare that a man can raise a child on his own without a mother in the home. America sets aside one day a year to honor mom. One day a year for mom who gives of herself every day. One day. We read in the Ten Commandments that she's to be always and every day honored. Honor your mother and your father, Exodus 20 and 12. We're to always be honoring our mothers. But in America, we do it one day a year. Isn't there something radically wrong with that? That Mother's Day is one day a year? I think there's something radically wrong with that, and we know there's something radically wrong with that, because in America, Christ, who gave of Himself without measure for all, forever, is honored with only 2 days by most people, Christmas and Easter. So the Lord Jesus Christ only gets 2 days by most people. I guess mom ought to feel pretty special that she gets one day. But maybe today we can begin to give honor to whom honor is due. To mom, we start with today. But may it, children, may it become a daily habit. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for our mothers. And there's probably not a person sitting here today that has not wished they had someone else at one time for their mother. There's probably not a person sitting here at one time has not wished that their mother had been different. Or boasted that someday that they will be different when they're a mom. Lord, we know that the mother we have is the one that you ordained, preordained, predestined to make us who and what we are today. And may we be grateful for your decision, God. May we be grateful that you have chosen the mom for us that would make us the godly son that most of us are that are here today. May we never question what you've done for us, Lord. And may we as young people still not question the wisdom of our mothers. They may be 93 years old today, and they still have more wisdom than we do. And it's in Christ's name we give thanks for our mothers this day. Amen. I ask if Pastor Dave Everett would close today with prayer, please.